Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in central Iowa. We are your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg, here with Mr.
Dennis Hart, for the first time in, what, 9 months being in the studio with you, Ursula.
Welcome back, Mr. Hart.
No, it's good to be back
California.
In Ames. Good to be back in Ames, believe me. We love this town, and it looks beautiful. Understand there was a little bit of rain over the springtime, but it looks great here.
And how was California?
Lo and behold, we had literally 12 or 13 feet of snow in the Sierra, a ton of rain on the central coast, a lot of flooding, but things are getting back to normal now. You know, climate change has affected us all in every part of the country. Mm-hmm. It certainly did with us out in California this
winter. Very much so. Where exactly do you go when you go to California?
Paso Robles, about 20 minutes from the coast. And so we get some warm weather during the summer and moderate weather during the winter, and we can go over the top to Cambria or Cayucas or Morro Bay or Pismo Beach anytime we want to. My wife enjoys going to the ocean and walking the beach there. I enjoy bundling up against the wind. It's kind of windy and chilly out there, but that's where we live much of the year. And then, of course, we have a place, as you know, just down the street here from our studio. It's 7 minutes walking every morning, which I enjoy doing, and being here with you during the summer times and early autumns.
Great to have you back. So are we going to do a radio show today?
We're going to do a show. What do we have coming up?
Okay,
what do you have coming up today?
Storm weather is predicted for most of today and possibly into tonight. Tomorrow and Wednesday, sunny weather is expected with a 10-degree jump up to the mid-80s. And it looks like you can expect more or less sunny days for the rest of the week and summer temperatures in the 80s pushing up towards the 90s.
Wow, that sounds like great weather, unlike what we had Friday when we were attempting to do the last part of our trip back to Ames, and we were in Kansas City with a thunderstorm so severe, so virile, so ominous-looking, it literally forced us off the interstate, 435. You know those storms. The rain was coming down so you can't see. We literally had to get off and crawl our way to a Dunkin' Donuts parking lot, where I had a couple of Dunkin' Donuts while the rain stopped. But what a last few miles. It took us, I think, 7 hours to do a three-hour trip. Friday, but we are happy to be back here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, since you're back here, I can say in person, Mr. Dennis Hart is going to bring you a summary of Iowa in the news.
And
Mr. Hart?
And I can actually say thanks very much, Ursula, and see you while I'm saying it. Let's get started. There was a lot of news to report from around the state last week, starting with what happened this past Saturday night. And what happened was flash flooding all over Des Moines when 4 inches of rain fell. Police had their hands full, more than 100 calls for assistance. The Des Moines River flooded at Southeast 6th Street in Des Moines. Cars were stranded. Electrical lines came down, setting at least one of those cars on fire. Numerous roads had water flow over them. It was a wild night indeed, Saturday night in Des Moines. Meanwhile, word last week, the trial for the man accused of killing University of Iowa student Molly Tibbetts had been delayed. A judge decided that 25-year-old defendant Christian Bahena Rivera would go on trial November 11th instead of September 3rd. The judge made that decision to give Bahena Rivera's lawyers more time to review the evidence. Surprising news last week that former Iowa State University president Stephen Leaf, who had resigned from ISU a couple of years ago to become president of Auburn University, was leaving that university. In his 2 years at Auburn, it had earned a designation as one of the top 100 research universities in the country. In a statement, Leith said serving at Auburn had been the highlight of his career, not serving at ISU. Also last week, Iowa Department of Human Resources Director Jerry Foxhoven resigned at the request of Governor Kim Reynolds. The governor's staff said she asked Foxhoven to leave because she wanted to go in a new direction in the department. He had been Director of Human Services for 2 years and had overseen the state's controversial privatized Medicaid system. His duties also included helping coordinate the transition of more than 400,000 Medicaid recipients from United Healthcare, which is leaving the state program at the end of the month. Meanwhile, the governor announced that a special election to replace Lisa Heddens in the state legislature will be held August 6th. Heddens, who is a 9-term Democratic member of the state House, resigned so she could serve right here on the Story County Board of Supervisors. The now open seat, District 46, covers Northwest Ames. A new study released last week showed that nitrate pollution in Iowa's drinking water might be responsible for up to 300 cases of cancer each year in the state. The study showed that 3 other states, in addition to Iowa, California, Arizona, and Delaware, have average levels of nitrate contamination that could, at the high end, cause 10 cases of cancer per 100,000 people a year. Also, word last week that the operator of the Dakota Access Pipeline is planning to double its capacity. Energy Transfer Partners plans to expand the pipeline's capacity from more than 500,000 barrels a day to as much as 1.1 million barrels. Company says doing that will let it meet growing demand without additional pipelines or rail shipments. As everyone around here knows, the pipeline carries oil from North Dakota through South Dakota and Iowa to a shipping point in Illinois. Also last week, word that at least four state employees had been injured in violent outbursts from patients at the Independence Mental Health Institute in the past couple of weeks. That's the same facility that made headlines a month ago after a nurse spoke out about being beaten unconscious and being removed from the state's payroll because she alleged she had not healed from that beating fast enough. There was a report last week that the state of Wisconsin had agreed to pay nearly $4 million to a couple of young Iowa women who alleged severe abuse at that state's facility for troubled girls where they were sent after Iowa closed its girls' school. The women are now 20 years old. They alleged in federal lawsuits in 2017 that they often were kept in isolation for 22 hours a day and were physically abused by staff members at Wisconsin's Copper Lake facility. Meanwhile, the last of three suspects in a brutal beating and sexual assault of an elderly woman in Kelly was captured this past Friday. 18-year-old Jacob Jimenez was arrested in Jewell. In court last week, a former state official who has accused former Iowa Governor Terry Branstad of anti-gay discrimination testified on Friday. Chris Godfrey, who used to be state workers' compensation commissioner, said he sued Branstad because he needed justice after he'd been asked to resign and after his pay was slashed. Branstad had earlier testified that he did not know of Godfrey's sexual orientation. Also last week, a Des Moines man was sentenced to 10 years in prison after police said he stabbed a man to death in a dispute over $50. 41-year-old Michael Lee Bell was convicted of voluntary manslaughter in the stabbing death of 42-year-old Jerry Lavelle Martin of Des Moines. Bell had admitted he took several weapons to the scene of the crime to confront Martin about that $50. Still on the court beat, an Iowa man accused of swindling more than two dozen people out of millions of dollars took a plea agreement, admitting guilt to a federal wire fraud charge. 49-year-old Mark Blankspoor faces a minimum of 20 years in prison and a $250,000 fine when he's sentenced in October. Blankspoor was a Pella health coach who convinced about two dozen people to invest more than $15 million in a medical gym program, but he used their money for his own personal expenses, which caused them millions in losses. Meanwhile, an Emmett County man was accused of stealing nearly $30,000 from a North Central Iowa high school booster club that he helped manage. Timothy Luke of Esterville had been treasurer of the Esterville-Lincoln Central School District Booster Club until last November when he was removed from that position. And a longtime affordable housing developer in Iowa and a contractor he worked with were said to be facing several federal charges stemming from accusations that they created a pass-through company to unlawfully profit from federal loans. The developer, Jeffrey Voorhees, the contractor is Brian Pittman. Each faces five counts of wire fraud punishable by up to 30 years in prison. In another story, a Minneapolis man was sentenced to more than 14 years in prison last week for roaming a dormitory at Wartburg College in Iowa and touching sleeping students. 23-year-old Brian Malone was sentenced after pleading guilty to sexual abuse and other crimes. Authorities said he used his college ID card to enter the Wartburg dorm. Also word last week that the Ames man accused of tearing a pride banner from the Ames Church of Christ, then burning the banner, will have one of the charges against him enhanced as a hate crime. Adolfo Martinez is charged with harassment, reckless use of fire, and criminal mischief. Officials said evidence shows that Martinez targeted the church over at 6th Street in Kellogg because of its support for the LGBTQ community. Also word out of rural Madrid last week, a story you probably are well aware of, that a nearly two-week rescue operation to remove cats from what was described as a horrendous hoarding incident, that's over now. A total of 186 living cats and 194 dead ones were removed from that property. The rescue effort's all the result of an investigation that started last month when 65-year-old Dennis Carlson was arrested. He's being charged with animal neglect and failure to dispose of dead animals, set to show up in court next month. Meanwhile, the Animal Rescue League of Iowa said three full-time veterinarians and a team of medical care staff have been working nonstop to diagnose, treat, and rehabilitate those sick cats and kittens, and they're going to be ready for adoption sometime soon. Meanwhile, word last week that a pipe company in eastern Iowa planned to lay off more than 100 workers. TMK IPSCO notified those workers at its Comanche plant that they would be laid off because of a downturn in business. Good news out of Des Moines last week. After nearly two decades of planning and 6 years of work, Easter Lake is again open for swimming, kayaking, and eventually for fishing. The lake was created back in 1967 on Des Moines' south side, and ever since, it has struggled with poor water quality, elevated bacteria levels, and piles of sediment. So A group of neighbors, along with city, county, and state officials, decided to dredge the lake, drain it, start all over. Crews dug up 678,000 cubic yards of sediment from that lake. Now, that's the equivalent of more than 20,000 dump truck loads. They also removed 500 tires and even a stolen pickup truck that had been dumped into the lake. No word on what the make or model of that pickup is. All this cost about $23 million. Meanwhile, Casey's General Stores, that convenience store chain that we all know about based in Ankeny, it's exploring adding automated services in order to address a labor shortage in rural Iowa and other Midwestern states. Now, that could result in all of us who shop at Casey's ordering such things as pizzas and tenderloin sandwiches on touchpad screens. A couple of more quick stories here. At the University of Iowa last week, they were celebrating because of a team of scientists there who had just obtained something unheard of, a 9-digit research grant. That's right, they've received a $115 million grant from NASA, $115 million, to develop satellites that can collect data on space weather. In case you don't know what space weather is, I certainly didn't, that's radiation created by the sun. One more story, Ursula and everybody, and that's the story about those 36 workers at Collins Aerospace in Cedar Rapids, since we're on space here. They won the $1 million top prize in a lottery promotion designed to give away that unclaimed Powerball prize. Now, that unclaimed ticket, remember, was bought in Nevada last year. No one claimed that $1 million. If I'd been there, I would have claimed it. Under state law, money from unclaimed lottery prizes goes into pools for future games and promotions. So the lottery created this thing called a Woohoo A Million For You. Woohoo A Million For You giveaway for the unclaimed $1 million. Woohoo. Lottery players could enter any Powerball ticket bought in Iowa from May 29th through June 11th. And guess what? That winning ticket was purchased by that group of workers at Collins Aerospace. Congratulations to them all. How come we don't win the Woohoo For You $1 million prize, Ursula? Why don't we do that one?
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again, like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway. We're the best of friends, insisting that the world keep turning our way. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
This is Cal Halliburton reporting. You'll be hearing New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio from the Big Tent on the Prairie event at Alluvial Brewing Company, June 8, 2019.
Something is wrong. People are working hard. American working people are doing everything they know how to do, but they're not getting the fruits of their labor. And I have to be blunt with everyone here that it is not by accident. Unfortunately, it's because of an agenda. It's an agenda that stretches all the way back to Ronald Reagan. straight on through to the tax cuts that President Trump gave to the wealthy and the big corporations, biggest tax cuts in a generation for the 1%. What we have seen time and time again, the policies of our government are making the rich richer and are holding working people in place and not letting working people get ahead. It's not an accident. So whenever I talk about the changes that need to be made, I always have some critic, someone who says, well, you know, it would be great to take care of everyone. It would be great if there was better schools or people had better retirements. It would be great if there was more infrastructure. It would be great if we could do more affordable housing. But you know what? People always say, we can't afford it. Sorry, there's not enough money. Let me say something blunt, but I believe it from the bottom of my heart. There is plenty of money in this world. There's plenty of money in this country. It's just in the wrong hands. It should be in the hands of the people who did the work. And if anyone tells you, well, that's nice, but it can't happen, I just want you to take a look at what we've done in New York. Last half decade, I have been mayor of New York, the biggest, toughest, most diverse city in this nation. And we have had a very clear vision. Put money back in the hands of working people. How about the government be on the side of working people for a change? How's that sound to you? So I'm going to give you some quick examples. And every single one of them they said could not be done until we did them. Pre-K for every single child. Today in New York City, pre-K is a universal right. Every child gets it for free. And you know what I love about this? Everyone here I know believes in a fair and equal society. Imagine the day when every child starts at the same starting line. Every child has the opportunity to achieve their potential. Let me give you another example. There's a lot of people who are working very hard and God forbid they get sick. Because in so many places, if you get sick, you either are going to go to work sick, get sicker, help everyone else at work get sick, or if you stay home to take care of yourself or a loved one, you will lose a day's pay. Most people in the United States of America cannot afford to lose a day's pay. So what do? In New York, we gave paid sick days to hundreds of thousands of people. So they didn't have to choose between a day's pay and being healthy for themselves and their families. I'll give you another example. There's hundreds of thousands of people in my town who do not have health insurance. This is true in Iowa. It's true all over the country. There's so many people who don't have health insurance, and they just pray they don't get sick. Right? For so many Americans, the only doctor is the emergency room. The last place we should want any fellow American to go for health care because it costs everyone a lot of money and it's not a good experience. And on top of that, there's so many people even who have insurance who can barely use it because of the premiums, the deductibles, the co-pays, the out-of-pocket expenses. Even folks who have insurance often find it adds up so much they don't go to the doctor. We decided to do something different in New York. We were not going to wait on Washington, D.C. anymore. We are now guaranteeing health care for everyone in New York. We're saying something simple. If you don't have insurance, we're going to give you a health care card. So you get a primary care doctor assigned to you, one of our public clinics or public hospitals. You literally get the name of a doctor. That's going to be your doctor. If you get sick, don't worry about it. Don't worry if you can pay for it. Just go to the doctor. We want you to get better. We don't want you to end up in the emergency room. We don't want you to end up hospitalized. We're going to save a lot of money for the taxpayers in because people are going to get well the first time. One more example I want to give you. This one's really different. We're passing legislation this year, first in the nation to do something very different. We are guaranteeing all working people 2 weeks paid vacation every single year. That's what we deserve in this country, a decent life. Now, everything I just talked about is happening in New York City right now. Because everything I've talked about should be the law of the land in the United States of America. The good news, my friends, is we hold the power in our hands because people are getting more and more focused, more and more energized. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I will give you my personal prediction. The 2020 election will be the largest turnout of any election in our lifetime. In our lifetime. And everyone here is going to be a big part of it. Everyone's voting this time. No excuses. But there's a little matter of the man we must replace in Washington. Our commander-in-chief. I'm sorry. I thought I said commander. I just slipped. Look, I'm from New York. I've watched this guy for decades. He is a con man. It's not news. Long before, I'm sorry you got to know him, but long before that, he was constantly bamboozling everyone in his business. He was evading the law. He was using his political connections and donations to get out of trouble time and time again. He's just a con man. And I can tell you, I will bring something very special to this race for president because I have watched this guy and I know every trick in his book. I know a schoolyard bully when I see one. They expect you to cower before them, and what do? You go up, you confront them. If you have to knock them down, you knock them down. Because it makes the point that we will not cower before the bully. Stand up to him. And that's when Donald Trump gets unnerved. He doesn't know what to do when people take him on. I intend to confront him every step of the way. And I'll give you one example of what I've already done to show you I know how to get under his skin and beat him. He tried to intimidate the city of New York. At the beginning of his administration, remember, he had an executive order on immigration. He said if you didn't change your policies towards immigrants, the federal government would take away your money. New York is, unfortunately, the number one terrorism target in America. He threatened to take away our security funding. He thought that would intimidate us. We're going to take away your security funding unless you ask every immigrant their documentation status. And you know what I said? You know what our police department said? There's no way in the world we are going to ever do that, because then every person who happens to be undocumented will never report a crime. They'll never come forward as a witness to a crime. They'll never be part of our community and will be less safe, not more safe. So I said to Donald Trump, my police commissioner said to Donald Trump, there's no way we're changing. In fact, what we're doing is unconstitutional. We'll see you in court. And we did see him in court. And we beat him in court. And we got our money for the people of New York. So I'll wrap it all together here. There is so much change that we can make in this country. I am a profound optimist about America. I don't think we're as divided as people say we are. I think this place is full of possibility. I think when America focuses, when the American people believe in something, great things can happen. This generation can overcome climate change. I don't have a doubt in my mind. Imagine if America were unified to take on global warming. Imagine what we could do to create a more fair and just society. Imagine what we could do to educate all our children earlier, the way we're doing in my town. Imagine what we could do if we took on the mental health challenge head on. How many people we could help. How many good people could get work being there for their fellow Iowan and their fellow American. We can do these things and show the American people that change can come, because that's what they want. They want fairness, they want change, and they want to believe it's possible. I guarantee you I will be able to show the people of this country, because I've already done it in our biggest city. And I want to make sure we do these things, these acts of fairness, these acts of justice for all Americans.
You've been listening to New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, recorded on June 8, 2019, for Candidates with KHOI. This is Cal Halliburton reporting.
Thank you, Cal, for that report. And this is Local Talk here on KHOI, where Alex Haber from Boone has joined us. Alex, you're part of an effort being undertaken by some in the area to honor a colleague, as well as to bring attention to a serious issue, which is suicide prevention. Welcome to Local Talk.
Thank you very much.
Now, this is a concert that you're organizing at the end of this week, right?
Yeah, just up the road on June 29th.
Tell us a little bit about whom you're honoring with this concert. This concert is dedicated to somebody you knew.
Yes, this concert will be dedicating our good friend Kyle Munch. It's called Just Up the Road. Our set list will be involving a large part of our friend group who have branched off and done some music.
So tell us a little bit about Kyle, whom you're honoring.
Kyle Munch. He was born on June 10th, 1992. His dad and my dad were really good friends. We grew up in the Boone River Valley. He was a Boy Scout. He was in choir and swing choir as well, and many other facets.
And he was a friend of yours?
Yeah, he was a very good friend of mine. Birthday parties and all that shenanigans.
And he was a musician?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about his music.
If I could describe his music in any one way, I would say Boone Valley River music. And like this folky, jaunty optimism to it.
Uh-huh. So what happened?
Well, the later part of his life, Kyle went to the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, where he studied English education and then moved to Flagstaff, Arizona. To be an 8th grade English teacher, and that's where he sadly passed away.
And now when you say passed away, he passed away from suicide?
Yes.
Do you know why? Do you know anything about how that happened?
It's vague to me. I've talked to his mom since, and yeah, that's about as far as I can go with that.
And how long ago did this happen?
This happened on January 18th of 2018, roughly. Mm-hmm. His celebration of life was shortly after, I believe, on the 26th out at Seven Oaks Event Center.
Mm-hmm. So now, about a year and a half later, this concert is occurring. So tell us a little bit about how this led to the concert. Like, what did you and your friends experience that finally, you know, brought it to fruition in this way?
Yeah, it was kind of a spur of the moment sort of thing. My good friend Chris Walker, he basically said one day he was washing dishes and he's like, "Hey guys, how's this sound if we do a sort of concert in his memory?" And through putting that on with Lockwood, the proprietors of that had a similar situation around the same time, and that brought us into the realm of expanding the idea of it being for one person and being for what it's ultimately become, for the foundation of suicide prevention.
So Lockwood is where the concert is going to be held.
Yeah, it's going to be at Lockwood.
That's the Lockwood Cafe, which is a new
It'll basically be opening as we do this show.
So tell us a little bit what the Lockwood Cafe is.
Lockwood Cafe, that was bought in 2015 by Austin and Sharon Stewart. It's ultimately going to be a cafe as well as an art gallery, and we'll be performing live music.
And tell us where it is.
It is at 4625 Reliable Street.
Which is in the part of town that is otherwise known as Ontario?
Yeah, it's right off of Ontario. If you take Florida straight up north, you'll run right into it.
So it's very close to North Dakota?
Yeah, very close.
In what used to be considered the Doughboy?
Yeah.
Grain elevator?
Yep. It was a storage garage originally, and they've been doing all their renovations, getting it up to code, and building some really cool stuff in there. So that'll be nice to see.
Uh-huh. And is the Lockwood Cafe already open, or is this going to be kind of their grand opening?
Yeah, essentially.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how grand, but it'll definitely be the first live thing, I believe, going on there.
Uh-huh. And so that's this...
This should be Saturday.
Saturday.
Yep,
it's this
right.
Saturday.
Yep.
At 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And so will there be food there as well?
We're uncertain on the moment. We're throwing things together as it goes.
Okay.
This will be more of a
being developed.
We got a set list. That's not necessarily the order in which people will be playing.
Okay. Well, give us an idea of who will be performing.
Pete Freeman from Wisconsin, As Oak, also from Wisconsin, and Guys with our good friend Jake Ruby from Illinois, Brett Anderson from Iowa, Justin Miller from Iowa, and myself.
And is there a connection between the types of music that will be performed? Can you describe a little about what kind of music?
I can't necessarily say that the genre will be exactly the same, but the influence that we had is stemming from the same individual, and that's what's bringing us all together for this.
Boone Valley, what did you call it?
Boone Valley River music.
So that's what holds us together, Boone Valley River music.
Yeah, that experience we all shared, that moment in time that we can uh-huh. look back on.
And again, you said that the concert is to honor Kyle,
mm-hmm.
but the money raised at the concert, there'll be a request for a donation.
Yeah, there will be donations, and that's, mm-hmm. you know, up to the discretion. It's not, there's no price put on it.
And the money raised will go to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention?
Correct.
Can you just say a word about who they are?
They started in 1987 as a volunteer health organization. Basically, it gives people affected by suicide a community mm-hmm. to kind of engage in.
Since you're really, in a way, you're trying to serve a larger mission here. If you would, can you describe how it affected you to have somebody close to you be lost to suicide?
Certainly. Well, I can say for me personally, it was not the first time, so I approached it a little differently. I think if I were to look at it now, I'd say, you know, there's a time for grief, and there's a lot of unanswered questions, but I think to wallow in that to an extent to where it hurts yourself and those around you is not something that's beneficial. And if there's any way we can get around that, in this case, live music, good friends, and a good community, then that's ideal.
What you're focusing on in thinking about the suicide is your own mental health and the mental health of the people around you and being able to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
And being able to, in a way, make peace with it so that you can continue to feel good about being alive.
We need that optimism.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that difficult to do? It sounds like you said you experienced it once before, that maybe the first time around it wasn't as easy for you to understand.
Yeah,
that you needed to do that?
I think that is very much so the case. First time around, I let it affect me a little more than I think I should have.
How did it affect you?
The thoughts that we have about what we could have done, where we could have been. You know, a sentence could have changed the future, but we're here now, you know.
Should have, would have, could have type of thinking.
And that's hard to impress on yourself.
And that's hard to let go of.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Because you feel like you could have done something to prevent this.
Yeah.
And then this time around, you kind of understood that...
Well, we can do something to prevent it and get together and be good people in a good space and do good things.
So that's what this concert is about.
Yeah. To me, that's exactly what this is about.
Do you think that's what it's about for the others that are organizing it?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's to come together in good memory.
So this is kind of an understanding that you and your friends have come to.
Yeah.
In terms of taking care of your circle of friends.
This is what we're going to make it into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think people will talk about suicide at the concert, or is it more kind of an implicit?
Yeah, I think it will be implied. I'll address it. I'm doing kind of a mixed bag of instrumental tracks. I'll be opening with a poem and ending with a cover song from Kyle. And I think others will be covering his songs as well. He's got an album also called Old Machine, which you can find on Bandcamp.
He actually has published music.
Yeah, yeah, he has.
I'm speaking with Alex Haber, who's from Boone, and he's organizing a concert that will be happening this Saturday called Just Up the Road.
Yes.
And it'll be at the Lockwood Cafe, which is at the Reliable Street Arts Center, which is at 4625 Reliable Street, just west of North Dakota, before the railroad tracks, right?
Yeah, right there.
Right, in the grain elevator. And the concert will be honoring Kyle, who is a comrade of you, Alex, and other people that are organizing the concert. The public is invited, right?
Absolutely.
Any donations given at the concert will go to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Alex, you have a poem.
That is correct.
Would you share the poem with us?
Absolutely. This will be the one that I'll be opening my set with. So if you enjoy it, come on down, or otherwise. Not really sure what this is called. I just call it Deity. It was all a dream. I woke up in a cold sweat, crying. 'Cause before I went to bed, I asked him to show me. And he did. I asked him to show me the way things truly are. Don't we always get a little more than we bargained for? Now in this dream, I was tearing my way through a punked wood shanty. I mean, my hands were full of the surface I was grabbing. All rotten. This structure was long forgotten. And when I awoke, I realized that this dream represented the world that we're inhabiting. A culture in an advanced state of decay. I don't endorse pessimism, yet I mean what I say. And we're rotten. We need to rebuild by planting strong love and being patient on the yield. I asked to see. and he showed me. He showed me the bad energy and how it runs so deep and how it's creeping up on you, and it doesn't matter if you believe, because this is a test, but it's also not a test simultaneously. This is a place for young souls trying to manifest reality. But don't get us wrong. Free will has sway here, and there's two different voices, one for each of your ears. One of low vibration, and one set up high. A path towards eternal darkness, and a voyage towards the light. He teaches reincarnation. Me? I've been here a couple times. And I don't want to come back, which is why I'm here preaching this morning. This is getting old, man. I'm tired. It's about time my feeble mind was rewired. It takes a lot of work, and letting go hurts. But we also need to get where we're inspired. Inspired to be the people that we talk about. It seems as though our idols are failing us, so here's a shout out to the common man. He whom works with his hands. He who does what his intuition has given him, even if his intellect doesn't understand. He whom does with the best intentions. He who might go against the crowd. He who stands up straight and speaks the truth out loud. The me who didn't know these things might have fared better. But the world needs people like me more than ever. That takes confidence to say. Can't say I had that last year. I was filled up to my esophagus with paranoia and fear. But those are just mechanisms put in place not to give myself the proper recognition. So I am proud to be in this studio, sending out these frequencies to those who might listen. So here's to you. I love you. Nobody is above you. But we've got some things to do. So be yourself, not some delusional knockoff catering to somebody else's ideals. Be you, but most importantly, be real.
Thank you. Alex Haberer from Boone. Alex, that part of the poem about the frequency, was that written just for KHOI?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Very impressive.
Thank you.
Last words?
Just up the road, Lockwood Cafe, June 29th, starts at 6 p.m. Hope to see you there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If I ever had a car, then I would go for a ride. If I never told the truth, then I never would have lied. You know it's good to have a friend. Come and stop me on my side. I didn't call you on the weekend. For this I wish I would have died. Now I'm putting on my shirt, and I can't forget the past. If I don't forget today, would you give me one more chance? Now I'm putting on my shirt, and I can't forget the past. If I don't forget to dance, would you give me one more chance? I wrote my message on the wall, but you can't escape the fall. Some people think I know it all, but I guess I don't recall. If I turn into a zebra, would you still hold my hand? And when we're going out for coffee, would you pretend I'm a man? Would you pretend I'm a man? Pretend I'm a man. In the bed, I know you're not in the mood, so I hop right out of bed, and I make myself some food. I make a Salisbury stick with some chili on the side. I didn't call you on the weekend. For this, I wish I would have died. Tortellini for my breakfast and some tuna casserole. And then I go and ask my neighbor if he wants to smoke a bowl. He tells me I'm looking frantic, like a beach bone dude. Such things nice for this is. I said, not in the mood. Oh, I don't really know if your love is gonna show up. You know, I could have been an X-Men with my powers all galore. Teleport to China and make some sushi off the floor. You know, I used to drink the whiskey, but I don't do it anymore. My neighbor says he's got a toothache. Yeah, he says he's really sore. Over and over, I'm trying to not be alone there. But you don't make it easy to do.
And that's Flavor Basket, otherwise known as Charlie Vestal. And you're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host, Ursula Rudenberg, and I am here with Crystal Davis, Director of Destination Ames Member and Visitor Services. Did I get that right?
You got that right. Great.
Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming in for your regular update on what is happening in public fun and entertainment and interest in Central Iowa.
Right. Well, there's so much going on. We're almost into July. I can't believe it.
Here it is.
It's just going so fast. But as we look forward into July, there's a lot of things going on. If you're interested in testing your wits and your trivia knowledge, every Monday night in July, over at the Mucky Duck Pub, they're having their trivia quiz night. Begins at 8 p.m. every Monday night, and you can get there early. Quizmaster Tom will be there to entertain you, and a fun night in a fun venue to kind of keep you up to date on what's happening with trivia and see if your team can win. Also, to start off the month in July 1st through July 3rd, the Ames Public Library is having their book sale. And this is a great opportunity where you can check out all the great things they have on books, movies, music, July 1st through July 3rd.
Which is this coming Monday?
It's this coming, right.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
And that'll be during their open hours, their normal public open hours. Also during, at the library, starting on July 1st, they've got Willy Wonka's Escape Room. And mm-hmm. this is, it goes 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on July 1st and July 3rd. And it's a family-friendly event as you try to escape from Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. And teams can sign up right before it starts. And they will run one escape room during the time. So there might be a short wait as you wait for your turn. But what a fun idea to try. Those escape rooms seem to be a trend right now. But we've got one right here that you can try out at Ames Public Library on July 1st and July 3rd. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about biking and want to go with the group, Skunk River Cycles here are having Mellow Mondays. And this is ongoing all the way through June, July, and into October. And you show up at Skunk River Cycles here in downtown Ames, and they'll have a low-key ride on some low-traffic roads. And all ages are welcome. If you're under 18, they do want to know that you've got an adult or parent or guardian with you. But what a fun way to maybe experience some biking in a nice atmosphere with some experts and on a low key if you want to try it. So be at Skunk River Cycles on Mondays at 4:30 to try out your biking. As always, our farmers markets are going crazy, so we invite you to check out our two farmers markets. We have one at North Grand, the North Grand Farmers Market. They're every Wednesday, in the evenings, starting, they go from 3 to 6 p.m. on Wednesdays, and then they go again on Saturdays. They start at 8 a.m., and they're on the north side of JCPenney in their parking lot, so be sure to check them out as well. And then we have the Ames Main Street Farmers Market that is in downtown Ames on Main Street. They run every Saturday starting at 8 a.m., and I tell everyone, go to both. You can shop at both, kind of make a circle through the city. But they've got great produce, and as the seasons continue to grow, more and more fresh produce, vegetables, fruits, plants, crafts, all from great vendors that are from around here. So be sure to check that out. A fun thing that's happening on July 1st through the Ames Park and Recreation is they're partnering with the Courage League Sports. So if you are, it's a nonprofit adaptive sports and recreation program. And so if you're interested, they have a Courage League Cups from ages 2 to 5. That goes from 4:30 to 5:30 on Monday, July 1st. And their Courage League Tigers go from ages 6 to 11. Starts at 5:30. And just maybe a great way to get involved. Maybe you're not as fast as everyone or just need a slower pace. What a great opportunity to still participate with Ames Park and Rec and experience their programming. Our friends at IHG Extension and Outreach here in Story County have some fun things to do this summer, and one of them is starting on July 3rd, an event called Gardening and 3 R's. And this is also for youth. Maybe that you would like to have your youth get more involved with something outside. And it's for grades 3 through 6, and they'll learn about gardening and reducing, reusing, and recycling. And they're going to make a bee butterfly water station, a bee house, a fairy garden, and work on some seed starter pots. So it's a fun way to get outside and learn from our experts. And so give ISU Extension and Outreach in Story County a call to find out more about that.
So this is in Nevada, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're heading into our Independence Day is coming upon us. So we're excited to kick things off on July 3rd with our Independence Day fireworks. And yes, we do host them on July 3rd. Kind of gives you an opportunity to have some fireworks here. And then a lot of our surrounding communities have their fireworks on July 4th. So you can kind of pick and choose where you want to go and kind of get fireworks both nights. But the ones here on July 3rd, they are put on in partnership with the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, their community grant program, Iowa State University, City of Ames, and then Fuel, Story County, formerly Young Professionals of Ames. We all work together to put on the fireworks, and they'll start at around 9:45 on July 3rd, and they shoot off over by the stadium parking lots, so be sure to head on over there. If you'd like a little more scenic venue to watch your fireworks, you're invited to go to Ryman Gardens. From 6 p.m. to 10:30 p.m., they'll be having where you can come in, you can bring your lawn chairs, some coolers, maybe with a little snack, and watch the fireworks and the beauty of their gardens. And so that's an opportunity to hang out at Ryman Gardens and get a good viewing spot for the fireworks. And then go to bed right away because we've got a lot of stuff happening on July 4th. And you can start your day with the Friendship Arc, their annual 5K race on the 4th. This will be up at Ada Hayden Heritage Park beginning at 7:30 in the morning. So this is their annual run. It's a fun, family-friendly event. And so they also have a kids' fun run. So we invite you to start your day there, kind of get a little exercise in, and then come back downtown Ames and have pancakes provided by the City of Ames right in front of City Hall. And so get your exercise in, come have some pancakes, and then stay downtown for the parade, which starts at 11 a.m. And so that'll be a great, fun thing to do. And then
I see you have the Doc Dogs back.
Yes. So this year they're being hosted by Model Farm, which is an organization on ISU campus. And, yeah, they've brought Doc Dogs back, and they'll be downtown Ames, Burnett Avenue between 5th Street and 6th Street. They'll be here on July 4th, 5th, and 6th, so 3 days of competition. If you want to sign up your dog to participate, you can come on down during those days. You don't have to pre-register. You can come down and sign up on the spot.
And one of the things I've noticed, too, is that even if your dog doesn't want to compete, or if you don't want your dog to compete, dogs really, really love watching this
right.
event. So bring your dog to come and watch, because
right.
I have never seen dogs more interested in anything than this. This is an absolutely adorable event.
It is great. It has three aquatic events, big air, extreme vertical, and speed retrieval. So if you want to know what that means, come on down.
Yeah, and if you want to see a whole lot of dogs feeling really good.
Oh, I know. It is a fun thing to see and participate in.
Yeah.
Before the parade and after the parade, the Wheatsfield Cooperative is offering their 4th of July grilling in their parking lot. And so their grill out is back, and you can stop before, during, and after the parade for hot dogs or a veggie brat. And so a fun way to spend all day downtown eating and watching the parade and the dock dogs. And we do, I did double check this, but the Ames Municipal Band concert is still going on July 4th. So what a way to end your holiday by coming to the band shell, Durham Band Shell. Starts at 7 p.m. and the Ames Municipal Band concert, always a good concert. Bring your lawn chair. You'll maybe meet some new friends and family and see your neighbors. And this is ongoing through the end of July, but they are still going on July 4th. So good way to end your holiday. As we ease into the rest of July, the Hoggett School through the Ames Historical Society has got a lot of events going on Sundays. On July 7th, they've got their Great Hoggett School Spelling Bee. So is this one of your strengths, spelling? So come test your skills out at the school. And this is Ames' first school, so it's a great thing to go see anyway. But
it's a museum.
It is a museum, yeah. And they have all these great fun activities that you can participate in. So starting at 2 o'clock on July 7th, you can test your spelling with the spelling bee. Wild Tots. Now, this is something that's happening on Sunday, July 7th. It's out at McFarland Park. And this is something for, it's an outdoor classroom for growing and developing toddlers and preschoolers. And so you can come as a family. And they've got child-led hikes, digging in the mud, searching for treasures in the mud and nature, climbing, books. And so this is a fun thing that you can do through our friends at Story County Conservation at McFarland Park. Starts at 3:30 p.m. on Sunday, July 7th. And just to, you know, heads up, give a look over all their events. They've got all kinds of fun things happening all summer that involve family and kids and things to get wet.
McFarland Park.
Story County Conservation. So, yeah. An annual event that's back, Foodies and Brew, will be happening on Thursday, July 11th. This is an event through the Ames Main Street Organization, but they hold this at the Ames Municipal Airport in their brand new hangar. So that starts at 6 o'clock p.m. and a great event to kind of taste some local food and beverages from people around here and some music as well. And if you've always wondered what it looks like standing in an airport hangar, this is your chance to kind of look out on the beautiful airport that we have right here in Ames. So 6 o'clock, Foodies and Brew on July 11th. An interesting thing through Story Theater Company happens July 13th and July 14th. That's a Saturday and Sunday. They're doing their 10-minute play festival. And this is at the Story Theater Company at South Dayton Avenue Theater. And it has plays written and directed by the youth who are associated with Story Theater Company. So what a great opportunity to see what they've been up to and all share their times and talents. As always, we've got a lot of great things happening. The Summer Iowa Games are back. There's three big weekends, July 13th through the 14th, the 19th through the 21st, and the final weekend, the 26th through the 28th. So we'll have a lot of friends and family and visitors here in our town, and we're pleased to have the Iowa Games here in the month of July. If you're interested, check out Cook's Emporium all month long. Has great things that you can learn, cooking demonstrations, fresh herbs demonstrations, and go to Della Vita. They've got some great things happening, too, on July 16th. With their Spanish summer sippers. So I invite you to check out our website.
For you who's listening on the radio, Crystal has about 10 more pages here of things that are happening in July alone. So needless to say, there is lots to do around here. Tell us where to go to check all this out, because this is amazing.
I know. There's so much to do. What a great problem to have. ThinkAmes.com, we have an event calendar there with all these events we talked about, plus so much more. And we have a print capability right there from the calendar, so you can print this at home and have it all right there at your fingertips. Or follow us on social media at sitesofames.com.
ThinkAmes.com or
Sites of Ames.
Sites of Ames, spelled C-Y-T-E-S of Ames.com.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Crystal Davis from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. And you've been listening to Local Talk. I've been your host, Ursula Rudenberg, and Crystal has been here telling you about what to do in July to have lots of fun in the area. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI. Also remember that you can hear a recording of the show later today online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kay Chelly. And you also heard Flavor Basket singing If I Don't Forget to Dance, if I don't forget the name of that song. So anyway, Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show, so if you'd like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. It is always infinitely interesting to do that. And remember that you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Without you, we would just be a bunch of people sitting in a room with a bunch of beautiful equipment. It is your ears that is what is the most important thing here. Thank you for listening, and we will see you again on the radio.